It's time to recap the McCook School Board of Education meeting for the month of July. Superintendent of Schools Grant Norgaard is here. How you doing, sir?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Seems like you were just here like 2 weeks ago. Boy, the summer months.
It goes fast.
Going fast.
That's good. The summer. It's good that the summer goes fast.
This guy is always ready to get all those kids back to school, aren't you?
It's time. We got to go. We didn't have to wax some floors yet and things like that. We would be ready to roll.
Go all summer long, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Summer school just finished up at the end of June, so it hasn't been too long that students have been out of the buildings. And actually, we still have some kids in our summer school program at the high school, so there are still a few kids around, so that's good.
First day of when the teachers come back?
That's a great question. I'm going to let me look at my calendar here real quick. I think teachers return their first day back, I think, is the 11th of August, but I don't have that calendar up in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's it. If not, it's going to be the 14th, somewhere in there.
Second week of August, usually.
It is. Yeah, it really is. And then the students start around the 15th, 16th of August.
So. Gotcha. That's going to be sooner than later.
Yeah, it's coming up.
You bet. Now, before you started your 6:30 meeting, you have pretty special another type of meeting beforehand, didn't you?
Right. We have the Committee on American Civics met last night at 5:45, so about 45 minutes before the regular Board of Education meeting. And it's a pretty important meeting and something we probably really need to share. A few years ago, the state of Nebraska passed a state statute, 79-724, and that statute had to do with making sure that school districts across the state of Nebraska were really focusing or had curriculum that, one, focused on patriotism, civic responsibility, taught about the Constitution, teaches about the Declaration of Independence, teaches about the state constitution, and also, so all these very patriotic requirements and things that McCook has always done anyway, but it just made it a requirement of all schools across the state to ensure that that was in their curriculum. Like even the citizenship test, that might have been a separate statute now that I think of it, but that's part of making sure that that is something that all of our students take and pass before graduation. So, and the citizenship test is the test that we give any immigrants that come to the United States that want to become American citizens. They have to pass that test. So our students actually have to pass that test as well at McCook High School. So, and then also to make sure that the board members that are involved also have to go through like our social studies curriculum. And actually they look at the curriculum across the board. They look at fourth grade, kindergarten, all the senior high, social sciences, history curriculum, and they look for any content that might be subversive to the government of the United States of America. In other words, they have to look to see if there's anything in there that would teach a superior form of government or promote a superior form of government. Of course, in our own eyes, obviously, capitalism, democratic republic is the superior form of government in the world. But they want to make sure that no one's teaching monarchy as superior or a fascist or socialist, communist government is being superior, a dictatorship is being superior. And so they have to look through, make sure that's not in there. Of course, if it is, they take it out and they mark that curriculum book, and then we have a lot of work to do after that to address that issue and why that's in there. Of course, none of that is in our curriculum. So it's a good for our board to go through and take a look at that content to make sure, on the one hand, that we're teaching all the things we really need to teach about the United States of America and teach patriotism, to teach citizenship, all those things, and also another protection against the teaching of things that are inappropriate. Promoting things that are inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Of course, we teach about communism, but we don't promote communism. Kids need to know what communism is. They need to know what a dictator is. They need to know what a monarchy is. But we can't promote that, and that doesn't happen in McCook schools.
And so this is about a once a year type of deal, right?
Yeah, by state statute, we're required to have two American American Committee Civics Committee meetings, and we had the first one in May, and that was a public hearing for anybody that wanted to come and talk. And we talked a little bit at that meeting about what was coming up, talked about some of the rules and regulations with the state statute, which really prepared us for last night's meeting. Some other things that I shared with the board last night is there are certain like songs that kids learn, and there's certain and when do they learn it, like the Star Spangled Banner, America the Beautiful, which we teach at McCook Elementary School, and there's also other dates that we are required by state statute to celebrate. And so I shared when we celebrate those events. So we have Veterans Day. Obviously, we take that very seriously with McCook Public Schools. We have large Veterans Day assemblies. But we also celebrate President's Birthday, Washington, Lincoln, President's Day. We celebrate Memorial Day if we're in session. We're usually not. Native American Heritage Day is on that list as well. So Thanksgiving's on that list. So there's certain days that we have to recognize during the course of the school year. And basically my report to the board is saying, hey, these are the dates that we're actually going to spend time celebrating and recognizing these events. Martin Luther King Jr. birthday is another one that we focus on. So it was a really good meeting. It was a great opportunity to educate the committee members or re-educate, because they're aware of this, but to re-educate them. And then also to get them to look at our curriculum books. So we hand out our criterion reference test folders, which actually contain our curriculum, they contain our pacing guides, they contain our essential learning objectives, they contain all the unpacked learning objectives that we've done, and they get a chance to look through that and take a look and see specifically what our teachers are teaching at each of the grade levels and each of our content areas.
Now on to the regular meeting from last night at 6:30. We'll start first. Reports, communications, public participation.
Did not have any public participation last night, but we did have a presentation to the Board of Education from our building level principals. Again, in July, this is something we also like to do in July, is the building principals present on career and college readiness. And so, you know, we're always doing things different from year to year. So one of the things that I want to make sure the board's always aware of is what we always do, and then anything new that we've done over the past several years. And so we start with Mr. Borland at the McCook Elementary School, and then we work our way up through Mr. Dickus at the high school. Each principal talks about what they do specifically to help kids prepare for careers and help kids to prepare for college if they so choose to go on to a second or a post-secondary education, that type of thing. So it was a very good presentation. I just want to reassure people at every level, we have teachers working hard to prepare kids for college. You think about, how can you do that at McCook Elementary School? Well, basically everything McCook Elementary School does is prepare kids for life after school and for working in our community, teaching students how to read. We teach students basic math, facts, addition, teach them social skills. But what else do we do? We bring in folks from around the community to talk about their careers. So we might have bankers come in. We have agricultural-related individuals come in. They're exposed to medicine, medical career fields. And they actually take tours. So we have kids that take tours, and they see our fire department and the folks that work there and the occupations that exist there. And we also have guest readers come in, and when they read, they talk about who they are and what do they do in the community. So even at the kindergarten level, we're helping kids prepare and think about that when they're adults, they have to be responsible. They're going to have to be a contributing member of the community. And so I think that they do a great job. And then that just as we go through the grade levels, it becomes a little bit more specific. We have It's less general. We're still teaching kids how to read. We're still teaching kids how to write well. We're still teaching math concepts, which are all incredibly important and can't be stressed really enough. But we start to actually create programs to specifically talk about, okay, how are you going to afford a car when you're out of school? So at the junior high, this really starts to get pretty heavy. At the eighth grade, a new program we have this year was Getting Ready for Life, basically, program. And so the kids, the eighth graders, go into the gymnasium for a day, and they are given a card. And on that card, it kind of talks about wages, it talks about expenses, and it gives the type of job you might have. So it actually gives you a job and the amount of money you earn. And so you have to start looking at, well, on this wage, what kind of car can I buy? What kind of house can I buy? And what kind of lifestyle can I live? And if you want more than what's on that card, you know, if you want a better car or a better house, what do I have to do? Can I go to a trade school, become educated in a trade? Can I go to college? Those types, do I need to invest money? Those types of things. So kids start to learn in eighth grade really specifically. And we do other things. This is just something new that we do. But really expose them that, hey, I got to think about these things. And then that carries over on into high school. We have the Connecting the Dots program, which is similar. similar at the sophomore level, where they start actually being, they actually start investigating specific careers. So if I want to go to college, or if I want to do this career, what do I have to accomplish? So if I want to be a doctor, what do I have to do? So it specifically explains, you have to get an undergraduate, you have to graduate from high school, get an undergraduate degree, you have to go, and then you have to go apply and get into medical school. Well, what if I want to be an HVAC person? Well, you have to graduate from high school, you have to go to a trade school, learn that skill set, might have an apprenticeship involved with that, and that's what you have to do to get into that career field. So what's really interesting, I've participated in that myself over the last several years. I always run the education table. It's a great event. Kids have a lot of questions. And I think one of the things that we believe as adults is our kids really know all this stuff. You know, we just make these assumptions, but they don't. And kids are really inquisitive. Sometimes students don't know, well, I have to get a college degree to be an elementary school teacher. Absolutely you do. And to go up on the pay scale as a teacher, you have to get a master's degree. And even further, go beyond that. You can get a PhD to earn more money in that career field. What do I have to do to become a principal? What do I have to do to join the military? Well, there are expectations of your performance in high school. You have to have certain scores. So if you want to be in the Marines and serve our country, there's still expectations. It's not just about desire. There's expectations that the Marines put on you so that you qualify to become a Marine. And so kids that are really interested in those careers are finding out at an early enough age what they have to do to actually accomplish those goals. So it was a great presentation to the board, and our principals really are thinking about this on a regular basis. And a lot of what we believe is every day we're preparing kids for career and college readiness, but we are still taking overt measures to bring in new programs and expose our students to new trainings and things like that to make sure that kids really understand they have to make choices and they have to be prepared.
Next up, approving the consent agenda, approval expenditures, payroll, reports from staff members and committees.
Now, I kind of already talked about this, I guess, okay, at the beginning. So we have that Committee on American Civics. Yep. And so I spoke a little bit about that. And at that point in time, kind of shared with the rest of the board what the committee was working on and what they accomplished during their committee meeting. And that's good to get that out. So all the board members kind of know. Now, we've had other board members that have been part of this committee in the past. So they kind of already know. But it was good for them to kind of share what they did today.
Superintendent's comments?
Yeah, the first thing that I had on my report, I talked a little bit about scheduling. I kind of gave a heads up to the Board of Education. We're going to be meeting a lot this year. We're looking at this junior high project. It's starting to amp up. We've been talking about this for 3.5 years maybe now that this is coming. And so this year, we're really going to have a lot of meetings. I shared with them that we had Mr. Gross and I had a meeting recently with W Design to kind of really talk a little bit more about the plan that we need to present to folks and get feedback on. And also talked about this, our cooperation with First National Capital Markets and how they're going to support us in the program and having to get those two groups together. And so we're meeting with those folks tomorrow. And then we have committee meetings on Thursday for both finance and facilities. We're going to have to cover a lot of information. Those are going to be a lot of information is going to be covered at those two committee meetings, just so people are aware of what we've all these things we've already planned. They're coming to completion, and now what are the next steps? So a lot of meetings coming up, but this week we're going to be talking a little bit more about junior high bond, update on current facilities projects, discussion on future facilities projects, HVAC problems at the high school. It seems like we're always having HVAC problems. Junior high has kind of dominated those conversations in the past. Now we're looking at some issues at the high school. Recently passed school finance legislation. So we have the state legislature recently passed some legislation that directly impacts school finance. Still working through what that really means for us. Usually we know what that means, but we're finding in the language that some of this stuff, we don't really know for sure how it's going to impact schools completely. Have a pretty good idea, but there's some caveats there that we're not quite sure about yet. And then where we are in our current budget position. So that's kind of some of the things that we're going to talk about. Also, I gave a heads up to our policy committee that we're going to have to meet in the next month or so. I handed out a couple of policies last night that had to do with student discipline. The state legislature has passed a lot of legislation this last session that directly impacted schools, and there's going to be a lot of policy changes based on that state statute. Now, one of the things I've noticed over the course of my career is that the state legislature has kind of gotten into the business of dictating to local communities what their policies are going to be. And we, like on this one that I handed out last night, has to do with student discipline. And so they're mandating that school districts pass these policies at the local level. So they're really kind of removing local control. So bit by bit, they're chipping away at local control. And this is just one of the examples of that as a state statute on policy for student discipline. We're going to have, I told the policy committee, we're going to meet a lot this year too, because it's going to take us a while to work through all the changes that came out of the legislature this past year. It's not just student discipline. There's a lot of language in that legislation. There was an omnibus bill that went through that has a lot of changes and is going to require a lot of work for our policy committee, because a lot of policy is now being dictated at the state level. And then I also talked a little bit about MHS welding last night. You know, we've always had for our juniors or underclassmen, I guess I should say would be more accurate, an opportunity for kids to get some welding. Going into next year, 23-24, we're not going to be able to do that. We are going to have welding for kids and who are seniors, because seniors have a little bit more flexibility in their schedule. They can be out for that four-period piece of time that the college really needs them, as long as they've taken care of their course along the way, their freshmen, sophomore, and juniors. They can take some welding at the college and get welding credit for that. But we've always kind of had introductory welding opportunities for our students. The college hasn't been able to find a person to fill that role for the upcoming school year. And so that's which impacts us, obviously. Impacts the college too, but impacts our students. And so we're not going to be able to offer that in the upcoming school year. So one of the things I talked to the board about last night was we might have to do some brainstorming here and come up with a different plan. It's my opinion that our kids should be exposed to that skill set before their senior year if we can. And so Mr. Dickus and myself, the high school principal, are going to really spend some time this year brainstorming and seeing if we can come up with a plan for getting at least a couple periods of welding into our programming at the high school for the 24-25 school year. The problem with that, obviously, is that welding booths and those types of things are expensive. And then you also have to find a qualified teacher to teach it. We have some obstacles, but I certainly want to try to get that into our programming somehow so that we can expose our kids to introductory welding courses before they're seniors. And actually, I'd like them to be exposed to that before they go on to try to take those college courses. I think if you have a little bit of exposure to welding, under the supervision of a teacher who knows how to weld, so you don't develop bad habits, then you go in better prepared when you start working towards your welding associate's degree or diploma. And so we have some work to do there. We're going to have to be creative because it's expensive. So we want to figure that out. It's just, and there's other areas like this that we have some issues, but this is something we've always traditionally had. And so now we're having to make this change, and we want to respond to it.
Business manager report, anything there?
Yeah, Mr. Gross did a nice job presenting to the Board of Education during our summer school at the elementary, which is about a month long. We served 3,700 meals, which is great. And that's, we have lunch and breakfast served at that time. Once summer school ends, we do shut down the lunch and breakfast programs. But it was great that our kids got that extra period of time to receive those meals, had a lot of participation. And the participation in that lunch and program was from the students that were in our summer school program. So it is open when we do that in the summer during summer school. It is open to any children in the community between 1 and 18. They can come in and get a meal. But the only kids that really took advantage of that were kids that were in that program. And I think we had well over 240 kids in our summer school program at the elementary this year, which is awesome. I might be a little low on that, but I'd rather be conservative than throw out a number that's not quite accurate. And so as we are thinking about how do we grow that program even more, maybe in the future we'll be serving more lunches during that time. He also talked about the budget. We're about 83% done with the budget year, and we've received 95% of our revenue. So that's usually the case. We don't get an even, steady flow of receipts during the school year because the money, you know, taxes are collected at different times of the year. The state of Nebraska only sends out state aid checks several months out of the year. They don't send it every month. So we're a little bit ahead. We probably won't receive a whole lot moving forward. Obviously, only about 5%. We never receive 100%, and there's reasons for that. As you know, not everything gets paid on time. Let's just be honest. And so we don't always receive 100% of our budget, but we hope to get as close as possible. And then our expenses are at about 82%. So really, with expenses, we're really right on the dot almost. So the budget's going well. Business office remodel is in process. That's my office space, and then the business office space. That's the project we've been working on this summer. The classrooms have been completed. Most of the restrooms have been updated. Commons area is done. Library is done. So ours is getting basically towards the end. We do have a couple of restrooms we need to address yet, and then we're going to get to the hallways. And so that high school updating process is going well, and our folks and our maintenance crew are doing a great job in getting that work done. They're working hard. They're in there before I left today working on putting in toe board type trim and some touch-up paint. We're waiting on some windows and things like that we still have to do, but they're doing a great job. And then the new restroom and concession stand down by the track, that's progressing nicely. Because of rain, it's a little bit behind schedule, but we've had quite a bit of rain this year, and so it's hard to do some of that work when it's wet, especially originally with the dirt work. That kind of was where we got slowed down. But ever since then, that dirt work being completed, you can really see that structure going up fast. So if you drive down 10th Street and look to the east, you'll see that new building being constructed there, and it's going to be a nice facility. Especially for anybody who wants to use a restroom.
Yeah.
Such a huge improvement over what we currently have. And so that's going to be such a nice addition to our facilities over there. And then we have some siding work. Most of we have those old track sheds, the old building that you were in for a year, or still in,
yeah.
Announcing at the track facility. We put new roofs on those, metal roofs, and we put metal siding on the side of those buildings. They were getting pretty old, and we were wondering if we were going to have to tear some of them down. We were able to kind of salvage them and put new metal on them, so now they're going to be good for decades to come. That metal lasts for a long time, and so we've saved that storage, and now we're preserving it for many years to come. And then central roof, I had to put a sort of a coating over the central roof. The central roof's been a great roof for us, awesome metal roof. But even at a certain point in time, I'm not quite sure how old central is, built in the 80s, I believe. But it was time to kind of give it a coating, and so we've put that coating on there, and we should be good to go for a number of years again. And then we also have a roof that's about 66% done at the high school. It's going to take a little bit longer to get that finished than we wanted, but we know it's going to get completed at some point in the future. And he also reported that federal reports, it's reporting, well, it's always reporting season. So a lot of our federal reports are in. It's crazy how many federal reports we have to do. It's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. Anybody coming off the street to see how much stuff we have to report, they would be kind of blown away by all the paperwork. It's a lot of red tape.
Sure enough. Board member comments?
Did not have any last night.
New business. You had a couple of items there too.
Yeah, we did. And I'm going to pull that up real quick. First, we start off, we had an anonymous donation to the Bison Boys Golf Team of $800. Really appreciate that donation. It's kind of a regular gift from someone. We really appreciate that person. They do so much for our school system and our community as a whole, to be quite honest with you, and very much appreciated. And we also, then our next action item was another donation to the Bison Boys Golf Team from Graham Real Estate for $1,000. Again, very much appreciated. The support that they've provided our programs really does make a difference for our kids. It just enhances our program. And, you know, when you feel good about your program, you compete at a higher level, it actually impacts the level of performance. And our kids have done we have a great golf program in McCook. We don't win the state title every year, but we have a lot of state titles, and we're always in the top 10. So we have a really good program in boys and girls golf, and these donations that we receive for our golf programs make such a huge difference for our kids, and those are very much appreciated. So thank you to Graham Real Estate for that. And then the final action item was a review of my contract with the school system and take action on a salary package. That was 4% on my package. So there's a process involved with that. And so what they do is and I'm not involved with it, but the board president, Mr. Hayes, and he works with the other individually with other board members, not as a group. They do investigative. They use a business manager to help, but kind of like our how we negotiate for teachers. So the negotiation process with teachers requires each school district to collect an array of schools. And so that array is actually official then. So all your numbers and that process for what the teachers are going to be paid are based off that array. So that array will be 10 other schools. You make 11. You're put in everyone's salary. It's really complex spreadsheet work that takes place after those 10 schools are chosen. And everyone's wages and their benefits are all put into the spreadsheet, and they calculate a midpoint. And so the midpoint is I'll make it easy. It's the average wage or package for teachers in that array. And you have to be within 2 percentage points of that midpoint. So if the midpoint is, let's say, $100, you can't be below $98. You have to be at least $98. Mm-hmm. And if you are below $98, then the teachers can take you to the Court of Industrial Relations, and the Court of Industrial Relations won't put you at $98. They'll put you at $1. So you always want to be within that 2 percentage points. And so with the superintendents, they kind of follow the same type of process. Now, what's the advantage to doing my contract? Most superintendents have their contracts done in December. With teachers, every school district in the state's negotiating at the exact same time. So we don't know when we're negotiating, we're using last year's numbers, and we know that Holdridge is also negotiating at the same time. But what they negotiate that year actually impacts you for the following year. So we're always asking, where are you guys going to be at? Where are you guys going to be at? Mm-hmm. With the superintendency, the advantage to doing mine in the summer is all these other superintendents' contracts have been completed, and now they can look around and see, okay, so this is where everybody's at. So that helps them identify where I go in my array. And the array's pretty close. It's all the Southwest Conference schools, I believe. And then I'm going to probably get some of these wrong, but I believe then they throw in some other schools that we compete against in activities like Hastings, North Platte.
Lexington,
yep, absolutely. And those schools. And so it's a little bit bigger, so it's a little bit broader average. And there's no way, I'm not going to get paid what the North Platte superintendent gets paid. That's considerably more. But they look at those numbers, and then they decide what my pay increase is going to be.
Okay. All right.
So it's pretty technical. Yeah. They can explain it to you better than I can because they're actually involved with it. I just wait and find out how it's going.
There you go.
And they've always, sometimes it's quite a bit less and sometimes more, just depending on how that fall falls out.
Positive comments already.
Yeah. Let me pull those up real quick. All right. We had Teresa started off with one of the things she's noticed, and I've noticed this too, is that teachers are already getting ready for the upcoming school year, and they're preparing their classrooms for work. I think I've had some teachers in the high school in all week this week. Not every teacher, mind you, but there's been a handful of teachers coming in getting ready for the upcoming school year, and that's that's awesome that we have teachers that are committed, and our English department's been in there, and they're just doing a great job. So I really appreciate that. And our elementary teachers coming in and working really is impressive. Charlie wanted to talk about our school bus support for a local Chamber of Commerce event, the golf course Bash on the Hills, and of course McCook Public Schools is a member of the Chamber of Commerce, and so we provided some transportation. We had some of our bus drivers involved with that, and we got some compliments on that. And we have really good personality folks driving our buses. You know, Paul Paz, I think, was one of the drivers. Yep. Just a really good guy and good to visit with. And so that was a good event. Mike Langan had a chance to go through. He was on our – he's actually the chairman of our Committee on American Civics. And so he just commented on his ability to go through our curriculum and to see what the teachers have identified as our essential learnings, what we're really focusing on. So we kind of have this target, and in the middle of our target is what every student has to master. And so that's what we're focusing on. Those are our most critical learning objectives. And we believe that every single student in our school system has to learn those essential learning objectives. And that's what our CRTs, our criterion reference tests, are based on. And then you have two outer rings, which has important information on it. And so, but that we got to stay focused on that target, make sure everybody learns that. And then as those rings get out, they're just of different levels of importance. And we have to prioritize our curriculum. And so he was impressed by the way we prioritized our curriculum and the decisions that the teachers are making of concerning, okay, yeah, that is absolutely something every kid needs to know before they graduate. And so we cover all that content, but mastery is what's critical. And so when we started that process 13, 14, I don't know how long have I been here, years ago, we really saw a dramatic increase in student achievement in McCook Public Schools. And that has stayed the course. And our kids continue to do very well academically. And so he was just impressed with that. And also with the career and college readiness presentations from the board, or from our building level principals. Tom wanted to comment on the fact that we have retired teachers who are working hard to represent what's best for our students' interests and the community, what's best for them, and also what's best for our schools. We have passionate retired teachers who are passionate about our educational system, and they're out and about in the community talking to folks and influencing folks on what is really the best way to fund schools and those types of things. And so he just wanted, in a way, to say thank you to all of those teachers and all those people in our community who are working, going door to door to a certain extent, visiting with folks about school finance and budgeting and all that, and really appreciates the work that they're doing. Scott wanted to thank the principals and all the work they're doing for our kids. He knows it takes a lot of work to prepare our kids for the future, and he is thankful that our principals and our teachers are working and thinking about what is it going to take to get a good job after graduation? What is it going to take to qualify to go and get a post-secondary education? And so he really appreciates the work that they've been doing. Jeff, I want to talk about a lot of the work people are doing this summer. And we don't just we have our maintenance crew. They're doing a lot of work. But we have teachers coming in. We have custodians cleaning, waxing. Some floors that every summer I look at some of those floors that just get freshly waxed. I'm like, oh, they're so beautiful. I wish I could stay like that all year. It was like day one, scuffy feet. But they're absolutely, some of those floors are just amazing. If people could see them, it looks like water. It's wet, but they do such a great job. And just excited that they keep coming and fulfilling their roles and making McCook Public Schools a success. And Brad wanted to thank our fellow board members for working collaboratively on the process, working through my contract and the salary content. He appreciated that he was able to contact and communicate with those individuals and have good discussions and share data and information and come to a conclusion as a whole board on Monday night for my contract. And then I wanted to thank just the community itself. My daughter just got married last Saturday. And so the people who really, I mean, there's so much, you don't really know, right, until you have a daughter get married, but there's so much work that goes into hosting a reception. And basically everybody that helped me decorate the school had some sort of connection to the school. And I didn't give enough credit last night. Like everybody, like my wife's a para. I had Mrs. Barger was in charge, basically. Tyra, she's a school nurse. Mm-hmm. Mr. Barger helped. He's married to Tyra. He's a board member. Joel Bedner is a principal. He helped. His wife is an occupational therapist. Guess what? Or a physical therapist. She works at the school with some of our kids. Cassa Haney is a retired teacher, and Rick Haney was my old business manager. They just help because they're good people, and we're in a good community. And actually, the community itself helped because there's some problems with the winch and something you don't ever want to have happen when you're decorating for a wedding. But is it Kenny? I'm trying to remember the names. But we had people from the city come in and help us. They reacted right away and to try to take care of that winch issue for us. It was a little bit cumbersome, but it worked out and everything went well. And McCook's an awesome place. And I tell people that from everywhere that I meet, that this is a special place. I hope everybody understands how quality of a community McCook really is, because not everybody lives in such a nice place.
That's right. Exactly right. And that put a wrap on last night's agenda. Next meeting is August
8th.
Right before things get
start
the ball rolling.
Kicking off, yep.
For the 23-24 school year. Yep. You bet. You bet. Lots of good stuff. You bet. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.